Blog Talk Radio.
I need a drink real bad. Oh, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, with the most, and we're ready to have a drink right now because I'm thirsty. I am the king of kings himself, the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, and I'm still grabbing him by the balls,
oh,
I have
Lord.
The one, the only.
Speak for yourself, Sean Black in the building once again. How's everybody doing? And who else is with us?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Doing better, hopefully.
Doing better. Well, not if you're grabbing his balls. What did I tell you about that? Just stop that. He might have cooties.
Oh, Lord. Well, he's not grabbing yours.
Now go wash your hands.
Are you two little bitches done?
Oh, Lord.
Are you guys done? No.
Not really, but we will pause.
Okay. Gee, thank you. Pause for these 58 more minutes, if you don't mind.
I'll give it 57.
Mm-hmm. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the number to call in your thoughts, questions, or comments is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. And it should be and Sean Black for the 70th ninth time. I think I lost count already. Do you still continue? Think about this for a second. Do you really want to piss some people off?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Well, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We have a lot to talk about. First, I want to give a shout-out to our caller last week, Jason from Brooklyn. He made our show very interesting, and we still kept talking about it after the show was done. So, and the rating was phenomenal. So thank you so much for making our show great last week. And but Sean Black,
yeah,
you are a Giants, you are a New York Giants football fan, just like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched the game 9 o'clock in the morning yesterday.
Of
and
course.
Yes, I was drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning, stressing out. And but that didn't make the news too much compared to the other story that we need to address is NFL domestic abuse policy, and then the New York Giants kicker, his name is Josh Brown. But
mm-hmm.
It seemed like he had something that you wanted to get off your chest, Brody. Last night at a certain location, you was telling me and Max a lot of things. So, take it away. What's on your mind? What do you feel about Josh Brown? First, who is he? What is this all about? And who do you have a problem with?
Okay. For those that are probably now just knowing about what's going on with the New York Giants, their place kicker, Josh Brown, is on the NFL exempt list. And the NFL exempt list is basically like being suspended with pay at another job, you know, if you're a cop or whatever, for doing something wrong. The issue here is about a year and some change ago, Josh Brown went through a domestic violence situation with his now ex-wife, and he was suspended per the rules of the NFL, where you're supposed to be suspended for any grievance based on sexual assault, rape, domestic violence, things of that nature.
How many games?
He was suspended one game.
Okay.
Now,
but what's the policy said? Was it 6 games?
The policy is, the way it was done, especially in light of the Ray Rice incident that happened 2 years ago, was that you are supposed to get, for a first offense, 6 games, and that can be aggravated higher or it can be mitigated lower based on whatever the investigation shows.
Okay.
Now, the problem here is, the NFL, big bad National Football League that is sitting on $18 billion of revenue a year and has TV deals from every other network and has all of these other things going for them, claims that they could not get the information that they needed in the investigation from the Kings County Court in Seattle, Washington. which is where Josh Brown lives. And they couldn't get any of the information that they needed to try and corroborate what was going on, even though Josh Brown and his wife Molly, or now ex-wife Molly, went to the NFL and showed them and alerted to them what the heck was going on. And here's the here's the craziest problem about everything else involved here. The issue is that the National Football League, with all of the great family-friendly things that they try to bring up in the media with their commercials about bring your family to the game and bring this and everything else, notice how all of those kinds of things, instances happen, and they're very happy to do that and show the league and show everybody else in the world that they're a family-friendly league. They're ready to go ballistic on players that celebrate in the end zone and want to suspend and want to make sure that the league has been stripped of whatever personality it is. That comes to domestic violence, maybe not so much. So now what has happened is Josh Brown, because of the report that happened where he wrote in a journal through to his therapist stating he abused his wife physically, emotionally, and in front of his children in certain instances. He admitted that he was molested as a six-year-old, and as he grew up, that was his idea of women. And he said in the article that he looked at women as slaves, and that was how he treated women in his life. The saddest part about this whole deal is, like I stated earlier, because of what happened with Ray Rice, because of what happened with Greg Hardy, because of what's happened with all of these other players, this gets treated with kid gloves, and all of domestic violence cases seem to get treated with kid gloves and is swept under the rug, and nothing gets done. And now, because the NFL is the way it is, because Roger Goodell, the commissioner, has basic autonomy over being judge, jury, and in some instances, executioner with penalties, he is ill-equipped to do that job from that sense, and he needs to have some sort of independent counsel to mete out those kinds of penalties, because it makes the league look horrible based on that. And it makes no sense to me as an NFL fan, and it makes no sense to me as a Giants fan, and even more so, if you are a woman, you feel absolutely betrayed in the sense that this was supposed to have been taken care of, and it has not.
Okay.
I don't feel betrayed. I don't care.
You have a hello caller?
Yeah.
You have a new caller on the line?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, okay. We can hear you.
All right. What I want to address is this idea that's in your description page about should a woman base spousal support? That's like asking, should we drink water? Of course you should pay spousal support. If a man can do it, she can do it. If women have been for years talking about, I am a woman, hear me roar, and I am your equal, when it comes down to the finances, if she's making more money than her husband and if he's asking for a divorce, and I don't know if that's the particular case with Bleich, but let's say it is, then of course you should pay spousal support. Why not?
But I think the thing is, like, why does a woman have to pay for spousal support if the man's supposed to take care of his family and everything? The man's the king of the castle, right?
No, the man's not the king of the castle nowadays. The laws are in the favor of women, and they will allow you to be the king of the castle as long as they are pleased with your performance. If they're not pleased with your performance, they will take half your assets. So you're not the king of your castle. No.
Okay, so for people that do not know what happened is, Mary J. Blige is getting divorced from her husband slash business manager. And the business manager is asking for XYZ amount of dollars. So, Anitra, do you agree that Mary J. or a woman in general, because you're a woman yourself, should pay spousal support? Do you agree with the gentleman?
I do. I also think spousal support is ridiculous. I don't even think it should even exist. I think it's a ridiculous law. You have two hands, you have two feet, get a job. The only person that is, you know, responsible for supporting you is you. That's just how I think of it. But, yeah, man or woman, you know, if he was the housewife and if she knowingly, you know, was the breadwinner, then, you know, he has every right, like any woman would have the right. I just personally don't agree with it as a whole. I think it's a ridiculous concept.
I agree with you partially about that.
I think it's a ridiculous concept.
I understand that. That's why I'm agreeing with you partially, because back in the 40s and 50s, women didn't work. And it was And it was understood that if I don't like the fact that a man feels that he should provide for a woman, that he should give her his name, he should be there for her and not expect very much in return. But the reason why I disagree with you partially is because if the woman is a good woman, or even if she's a bad woman, if she's never worked and she's married some bastard and he kicks her out, I think she deserves some kind of money until she gets on her feet. Now, when you're saying we should work, I agree with you. If a woman is working prior to the marriage, I don't think she deserves a damn thing.
I'm all about you going with you, what you came, you leave it what you came in with.
Mm-hmm. Sure, but
I'm all about that. But that's that. But I'm talking about women now. I get what you're saying from, like, you know, years ago. That's a totally different world.
Right.
Like, women now, there's no excuse.
I agree.
Job.
Yeah. If she has a job. True.
Yeah, that falls more along the lines of an uncontested divorce. If there's a marriage where you go in and you don't want anything, the other person doesn't want anything, and then you both leave without it in paperwork, so to speak. But uncontested meaning nobody wants to go to court over anything, and then you just finish off the divorce, then that's it.
Yeah, it's a very amicable split.
But my thing is overall. Females being fighting for equality, right? You want to be treated as a man, get paid the same as a man. If the woman, if Anisha B is a breadwinner, if she's making XYZ, and I'm not making, I'm the one, I'm stay-at-home dad, or I'm not making as much as her, to a certain degree, I'll probably help you make that money. I don't know who took care of the house, the bills, and everything else. Well, you went out to make the money. So you should pay something towards the guy.
Having a settlement is one thing, but spousal support where I gotta support your ass. You're not a child. I didn't push you out.
Okay.
Get a job.
Remember Sherry Shepherd and her situation with her husband and the baby that she's paying child support right now for a baby that's not hers.
Oh my God!
That's a different situation. That's the guy. That's a completely different situation, and the guy did that to get money out of her.
Well,
to take care of the child.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. The pendulum's going to swing both ways, because for the last 30 or 40 years, women have been talking about, I'm your equal, I'm not a victim, but I supported you when you needed me, and now I'm going to take half your assets. Well, men are resenting that, because men have put in all the work for their particular assets, and women have come along, and as soon as they said I do on the day of their wedding, half his assets were hers if she decided to leave. But nowadays men are very resentful of it. They want to protect their assets. There are women who are marrying men who are making less than they are, and the law now applies to men to a certain degree, to the same degree as it applies to women. And women, of course, are going to be bitching about it, but you didn't bitch about it when you were getting it, so don't bitch about it when you're giving it.
Oh, no, I'm not. Absolutely not. No, I totally agree where, you know, you get what you give. I'm all about the prenup. I'm the first one to sign on the dotted line. You will not get what I've busted my ass to work for all these years.
Do you think a prenup is very scary now these days? Do we have to sign up for prenups now?
It's important. You need to protect yourself. 100%. It's important.
Absolutely.
If you walk into a situation where you each are successful and each have your own, it's important to protect yourself because you don't know what's going to happen down the line.
But it doesn't sound like you're having doubts in this relationship.
No, absolutely not.
I'm going to disagree with you. I am going to say you are going to have doubts, and you should have doubts, because history proves no matter how much you are in love, there have been thousands, if not millions, of people before you who have thought the exact same thing, and when they got married, they realized that they were strangers who got married because of Lunderlust. And they said, I love you. They meant it at the time, but then they found out they weren't compatible underneath the same roof.
Yeah. Life so changes the thought
absolutely.
Process.
Absolutely. Because look at it. Think of it this way. I mean, think of it for about 5 seconds. How can a rational human being know that the person that they are falling in love with as a result of society pushing you towards that love through Disneyland and romance novels, etc., how do you know that person is going to be the same person 2 weeks from the time that you said I do? You don't know. So you have to have a prenup, and it's not about being extremely selfish. It's not about being extremely distrustful. It just means I worked for this. I don't want to pay you for the rest of your life divorce insurance. And a woman should have the same option. She should protect her assets as well.
I agree 100%.
True, though. The reason why I brought up this topic up because on social media, bro, where everybody likes to talk nonsense, everybody was criticizing Mary J. Blige, like, oh, he's a gold digger, he don't deserve anything. But we don't know the whole story behind his divorce overall.
Yeah.
Maybe Mary J. cheated, or maybe she robbed him. We don't know the whole story, and we may never know.
Yeah.
But
I had this conversation.
How most females attack the poor guy without even knowing the whole truth yet.
Well, that just shows the hypocrisy of the modern day woman.
I had the conversation just preparing for the show with somebody, and it's the thought process that goes into it is that if a male, usually in the discussion of the prenup, usually the higher percentages of the male, because of the reasons you just brought up, as far as depending on what wealth was brought into the relationship before the marriage was announced or what the intention of marriage was going to be there, was that it's going to, for the most part, protect the male, because in that situation up until recently, the male had all of the money, had all the power, had all the working ideals, all the options. And we're dealing with that mentality from the 50s of barefoot and pregnant, where a lot of guys still think that way, even though it's ridiculous even in and of itself. But at that time, it was agreed that that was quote-unquote normal. So now we've gone through the part where people have looked at the prenup as a negative, because in the eyes of most people, especially a lot of women that aren't used to thinking of protecting their own assets, if a prenup is brought up into the discussion, it's almost as if you're saying, well, you don't think we're going to work out? I mean, what are you trying to say? Why do you think we need such and such? I don't need your money. You don't need... And that's not the issue behind why the question is brought up. And in this society today, where everything is, women are just as independent as males are, and in a lot of instances, well off even more so than men, the fact that you, if you're going to have children down the road, or you plan on having some sort of relationship where you're going to create wealth together to protect whatever you have going in, is a great idea just in case. But that has to, you have to take the emotion out of that conversation when you bring that to the table, and that's the hardest thing for anybody to do going in.
Well,
okay,
before
I go to
the throes of love too. Yeah.
Before I go to UK dog, I get you to the caller.
Mm-hmm.
Question: do you think if most relationships will last today if one person stay at home to take care of the family and be the housewife or house husband, while the other person be the breadwinner, compared to the back to the 40s and the 50s?
Do I think what about the role of housewife or house husband? What is
it? If it went back to the way it was.
Yeah.
Should it go back? No, because when it was back in the 40s and 50s, women were very dependent upon men for their security. So they acted a certain way. Now that they're independent.
In what way?
Well, because they needed the man. They needed his security. They needed his money. They needed his status. They were dependent upon it. Now, if you have an independent woman who has her own, first, I don't like the fact that the first thing that she looks for is a man who is making more money than she is. She should actually look for a man for the same qualities that we look for in a woman, and they are usually the intangibles. But be that as it may, if she's an independent woman nowadays and she wants to marry, right, I don't see her being abnormal in the fact that she's worked and earned her particular wealth if she wants to bring it to the household. If she wants to share it, I'm on an equitable basis, that's cool. I don't particularly care about going back to the physical structure of the 50s where a woman was broke. Don't like that. But the psychology of a woman, she could learn something from the women of the 50s. Because the women of the 50s, they did seem to want to please their men more. Okay? They were brought up to be ladies. Nowadays, women are not brought up to be ladies. They're brought up to be businessmen. They're actually men with tits. And when you have that, you know, they're not becoming that attractive anymore.
Okay. Well, K-Dog, what do you have to say, and do you agree with the gentleman? I'm sorry, where are you calling from?
Oh, Montana. My name is Joe.
Oh, hey, how you
doing? Joe from Montana?
Yeah.
Okay, K-Dog, do you agree with Joe?
Well, Joe, first up, I got to say what's up to everybody. And in what the gentleman said, I listened to him and I agree. But you know what it is right now in terms of the independent woman is that the independent woman, yes, they have their own. They look for just a man to be there to support them, not financially, but to be on the same level with them, if you understand what I'm saying, like spousal support, like be the man in the relationship. That's what they look for. But,
which means they're looking for the man's wealth, because if they weren't looking for the man's wealth, they wouldn't mention that word security or on their same level.
And that's the problem, because a lot of independent women, you know, they say, women say that, okay, how could I say this? Like, women say that they're independent just by word of mouth, but really they're not. Because
it's,
you understand what I'm saying?
K-Dog.
No.
What I think you're saying is that women are hypocrites, and I'll say it.
I'm just saying. So I'm not saying all women. I'm not saying all independent women, but I'm just saying some. I'm just saying some who say that they're independent, but it's just by mouth. You're not really independent if you're going to sit there and, you know, depend on a man for everything. You say that you don't depend on a man, but yet you're depending on a man. Now, in terms of me saying that, I'm not trying to down anybody. I'm not trying to say anything controversial, but you understand what I'm saying when it comes to that. Now, with this going on with Mary J. Blige divorce, from what I heard was that they say I'm not saying, you know, that it's accurate, but from what word on the street was that they said he was cheating. But he's just asking for spousal support. Now, should a woman pay spousal support? Of course. I mean, if a man pays spousal support, why shouldn't a woman pay spousal support?
Understand,
it goes both ways.
Especially if over the years, the decades, they've been bragging about, complaining about, whining about, I am woman, hear me roar. I am your equal. Give me a chance. I want to bust through the glass ceiling.
Right.
And now that they've given the same opportunity as men, they have to have the same repercussions as men.
Exactly, the same repercussions. Because you know what? Now, if you look at it, the roles of women have changed. From the 1950s, the I Love Lucy, the Leave It to Beavers, where the woman was the homemaker, where she was the one who cooked the meals, where she would have everything ready for her husband when he gets home from work, have the slippers, have the pipe, have all this ready. Now these days, you'll have more women who are doing twice the work that men do, if you understand what I'm saying. And right now we're living in an era where there are some women, especially in marriages, and that causes a conflict, where there are some women who make more money than their husbands. You know, that's what's going on now. Is it a bad thing? No. I think it's great that the roles of women have changed.
All right. Anitra, what's your reaction to that? Especially about the independent woman. I think what Kato's trying to say is women want to be independent, but you cannot be you can be independent, but to a certain degree. Just like a guy could be independent to a certain degree. We both need each other to support one another, regardless.
Right.
But most people will do the Beyonce, will pre the Beyonce talk. I'm an independent woman, I got the money, I got this. But in the end, you still need some penis or vagina in front of you, so you still need something. So what do you think?
I'm not speaking for, you know, everybody. I don't know everybody. I'm just speaking for myself. So where, you know, I've always been proud to say I'm independent. I've never taken from anybody else. I support myself. I've supported my kid. I've done it all on myself. You know, I've been in long-term relationships that have worked. Some of them did, some of them didn't. But I never depended on anyone's wallet but my own. Never asked for anything. Never. My ego would never allow me to. Everything I have is because I worked for it. I don't live with mommy and daddy. I don't live with other people. You know, I have my own, pay my own bills, have my own rent, and it's always been mine. I worked hard for everything I have.
Okay, but you work hard for it. Are you expected to get the same type of treatment you go if you find a man who doesn't work as hard as you, doesn't make the same type of money as you? I'm like, are you looking for an equal?
I don't care about making the same type of money. I would want someone who's goal oriented, someone who wants to do better. I wouldn't want someone who's gonna lay on his ass on the fucking couch while I've worked a 60-hour work week. That doesn't work for me. That's not
well, let me
which
ask
is
you
understandable.
Question. Well, let me ask you a question. Suppose you are working the 40-hour work week, but you're not supporting a guy, but you are dating him, and let's say he's a poet, and he's making maybe $10,000, $15,000 a year. He doesn't mind. So he's living in a studio apartment, doesn't have a car, but he just likes life the way that it is. He's a carpe diem type of guy, you know? He's not ambitious, but he is the most honest, nicest guy, with so full of integrity, and has everything else that a woman wants except for the money.
I would be fine with that. The money is not the issue with me.
Okay. But he's not
goal
oriented.
I make my own money. Yeah. Well, so there's a difference. He is goal oriented because he's doing what he wants to do. He's living his dream.
There's different
definitions of that.
Okay.
In my mind, a goal is you know, you're doing something with yourself. I'm not talking about the size of your bank account. I couldn't care less. I can make my own damn money.
And then there are plenty of relationships that have been broken up.
I'd rather have someone with integrity. That's,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
that,
money
that,
has broken
that,
up
that
a lot of relationships.
That takes care of himself.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I would rather, like you said, the studio apartment that's his, that he works for, than I don't want a 40-something-year-old living with mommy and daddy.
I do that to the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, see,
because
you're a very different woman, okay? Because the definition of somebody who's goal-oriented, and I think the guys are laughing because they know what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
That women will say, well, I don't care about his money, but he has to be goal-oriented, which means that code for if I'm making $50,000, that guy better be making $60,000, $65,000.
Oh no, yeah, no, that's not my definition.
And that's the thing. That's what causes a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not my definition goal of my. I view it as personal goals where you're living your own life.
You know what it is? Let me say this. Like, there are plenty of guys out there, you know, now that we're talking about independent women who want a guy with a goal, there are guys out there who are working on their goals, but you have some independent women who don't believe in it. Like, they don't support it.
Yeah.
As much as the guy works hard and says, you know, this is something that I'm doing, but, some goals take, you know, some people, when they work on their goals, they really seriously work on their goals and they try their best to do it, but they don't get no support and they get told that they're not doing them enough.
You know what? You bring up a good point. I'll wait till you finish because I want to interject something when you're finished.
Nah, man, you know, I just finished. I would say more, but go ahead, bro.
All right. Because I agree with you. It's this thing about, well, the women, they always say they want the nice guy, the sweet guy, the guy who has integrity, and, you know.
Don't get me started about that one. We hear that
yeah.
all the time.
Oh, we could go on for hours about
but,
that.
Yeah,
but when they do find someone that to their liking, they got to find something wrong with that person.
Men do the same exact thing.
Excuse me.
All you guys are agreeing to me.
Wait a minute. Anitra,
chicks.
You have a point. You have a point here. It goes both ways. Like, you have men out there who do want a good woman, but they don't know how to treat her. But now let's focus on what's going on now where a lot of women do that.
Let's be honest, guys. Yeah, they go both ways, but it seems like the females complain more that they cannot find the right man compared to a man find the right woman.
Exactly.
We think differently.
It doesn't matter how much you treat them, but, you know, they'll just say, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. Okay, what is it that you want me to do? Oh, I want you to do this and this and this. Okay, I am doing this and this and this.
Yeah, and that's the thing. See, we have to wake up from the conditioning that we've always been accepting. We've always been taught to be the gentleman and to impress and to entertain the woman because she's full of virtue and all things nice and sugar and spice. But the thing is, if you take a look at a woman as an adult human being, and if you can fully accept that, then you say to yourself, wait a minute, I don't have to do shit. You've got to impress me the same way I've got to impress you. And if you don't, bye. Goodbye.
Well, this is how I see it. If you're given 100%, I expect 100% back. But if you're giving me 50%, then I'm gonna have to take another 50% back too. Because you know what? A relationship and a marriage goes 50-50. Split down
the
middle.
No, it doesn't.
I can vouch as being a person that has been married that is not always the case.
Here we go.
That
is
not what you and this is for any relationship, married or not, is that all you can expect is to meet somebody and hope that they give you the other part of what you're not getting. And if it's enough for you, then everything works. Some people need 60%. Some people need 40%. As long as you feel that other half is being met, then you can have a functioning relationship if it's what you're looking for. But what tends to happen is a lot of people will settle for just the small amount that they get if it's not what they're really looking for, and then try to build their happiness around that small percentage, especially if you're the person that's doing the majority of giving all of the percentage. If you're giving 85% and all you're looking for is 20 and you're only getting 2%, what's the point?
There's
and
a problem.
That's part of the problem with a lot of relationships.
But
and
guys,
especially
but
these days, when you
but
have...
We don't know. I'm sorry, go ahead, Kayla.
Yeah. No, but when you have given as much as you can, for some people, and it goes for both men and women, they're still not satisfied.
And there's a reason for it. Women have different expectations.
Ooh. Oh, please explain to me, Joe, why are people never satisfied?
Because
I've been asking that question for the longest now.
I've been asking that from the time I was a kid.
All right, let me give you what my opinion is of that. Society has certain rules and regulations. We call them mores, okay? And women have been inculcated to be daddy's little girl, the princesses, and as a result, along with feminism, they have a sense of entitlement. They believe that the man, and men, we are conditioned to be gentlemen, they believe that the man should cater to the woman to a certain degree. And our conditioning is we should cater to them too by approaching them first, by trying to entertain them, by trying to impress them. Now, unless you get a woman who is actually going to reciprocate, you have to ask yourself, why am I exerting all this energy? What are you giving to me? What do you offer? What can you bring to the table besides just your presence? Can you help me in my dream? Can you help me to become a successful businessman? Are you going to be there when the lights go out if I fail once or twice? Are you the type of woman who sees the potential in me? Are you the type of woman who goes for my character more than my wallet? Now, here's my remedy
for this, because what you guys are talking about and what all men go through, what all women go through, we base our relationships and marriages based on hope. We hope, we dream that this girl, this guy is going to live up to our expectations. But here's what I recommend. Before you get into a relationship, you sit down with the other person and you write out on paper, what is it that you expect the other person to do? You write out what bugs you. You write out deal breakers. If you can't settle those issues right then and there, you don't get into a deep relationship. Doesn't mean you have to break up, but you don't get into a marriage, and you don't get into cohabitation. Because that's my thing.
I think that's one of the best things I've ever heard.
Yeah, that is a good thing. Wow, I've never really looked at that because you know what it is, what's going on these days when it comes to relationships. Too many people are rushing into them,
mm-hmm.
and what you're expecting when it doesn't happen, you'll feel disappointed.
Precisely.
Too many people are not waiting. And I could second this by saying it's always good to be in a relationship with your best friend, with someone who can be your best friend and your lover at the same time. Because too many people, they look for the good. They're not looking for the bad, because you know what? You're going to have the good and the bad. You're going to have the good times and the bad times. Like the song says, you know, whether times are good or bad, happy or sad, there's nothing wrong. You know, there shouldn't be anything that's to separate you. And, of course, you want to make sure that that person is there for you when you're down and out instead of dumping you when you're down and out.
Okay, Screaming K-Dog.
Yeah.
Joe, I will have to let you go, but is there anything else you'd like to say, Joe? First of all, thank you so much for calling in and making the segment very interesting.
Yes.
We really do appreciate it, 100%. But anything else you'd like to say?
Nope, that's about it, guys. If you want to carry on with the rest of the show, have at it.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, man, thank you
very much.
All right, take it easy, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, have a good night.
Talking.
Wow, that's the first person we've gotten from Montana. Wow, that's a ways away.
Hey, you guys are doing good.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes,
and
you.
As always, this is the absolute truth, folks. You tell it like it is. Tell what's on your
mind.
That's
right.
347-989-8402. And let me say a little bit of something about how I feel about Josh Brown, the kicker, and the New York Giants.
Right.
And Sean will take over. The incident between Josh Brown and his wife and the family, I have no issue with it because I wasn't there. It's not my business. And I always tell Sean, what happens at home stays at home, but that's between him and his family or whatever happened. Something especially that happened last year. The issue is, like Sean said earlier, the way it's being handled. Josh Brown went up to the owners, to the coaches, everyone, and told them, hey, I beat my wife. Oh, you did? Okay, no problem. We get you therapy, and you know what? We give you extension on your contract. Like, it seemed like he got rewarded for being his wife to a certain degree. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I do believe in second chances. I do believe, you know, let's work something out. But the cover-up, especially from the Giants owner, saying over the Ray Rice incident that he would not tolerate this type of conduct in his organization, he's the one who kind of brushed it underneath the carpet, like nothing happened. And look at it a year and a half later. Now we're talking about it. Not about the Giants winning, about an incident like that. And like Sean said earlier, it's an insult to all women. So,
mm-hmm.
once again, you have someone who's getting away of being his wife.
Quick question. Not to cut you off. I don't mean to do that. But is he like a significant player, like someone where they can't lose?
He is a place kicker.
Yeah, he's just
he's
a
not
place
a quarterback.
That's it.
He's not a linebacker. He's not a wide receiver.
The point kicker, that's it?
He is a place
that's
kicker. All he does
yeah.
is kick field goals and kickoffs.
He got replaced yesterday.
That's it.
He was replaced in a second.
And that's the thing. That's the craziest part of the whole entire deal is the fact that you most people think that based on importance of a position that they will tolerate more garbage from a particular player or more baggage from a player because of the importance of the team. He is a place kicker. Not only a place kicker, he's a 37-year-old place kicker. He's not even
his almost over.
His pretty much.
Then what the hell is this all about? You know, this is the thing. True, beating up on a woman is wrong, by all means. And there should be penalty. You do deserve to pay a penalty for it. That's my take on it.
They have.
But Sean, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Does Ray Rice play another team right now?
No.
And then who else was another person that was in a domestic
Greg Hardy.
Dispute?
Yeah, Greg
Hardy.
What
are you doing right now?
He's trying for an MMA career now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that should tell you something.
Which he should get his butt kicked.
Yeah, but this is what I'm aiming at. Two incidents, two black athletes got in trouble. They got let go, technically speaking, right away. So we have a white player who went up to confess to the owners that he made a mistake, you know, beat up his wife. And technically speaking, they gave him a job. Now, Anisha, do you think this is an example of white privilege that we talked about last week on the show?
Honestly, I don't know. I really don't know because that's why I asked you, like, is he some important person? Is it because, like, someone, like, I don't know. I have no clue.
Because,
I mean, is he, like, some important player in the NFL? Like, does he matter?
No.
All he does is kick field goals and extra points. That's his job.
I mean, could he have gotten maybe a pity ticket, maybe? I mean, does he have, like, a hand, like his hand in someone's – you know what I mean? Like, you know how, like remember back in school, like, there was always a teacher's pet, and if they did anything wrong, they got the pity ticket because the teacher adored them?
Well, from everything that we've read and heard about Josh Brown is the fact that his teammates really liked him. He was an outgoing guy. He was very good in the clubhouse. A lot of the guys really thought he was a pretty good person up until this whole sexual assault.
Privilege means that you have something. The definition of that is that you have something. You know somebody. You have money. You know, but if
but
this
still,
dude
Anitra,
doesn't have
Anitra, if you beat up Sean, you beat up Sean, and you come up to me. Listen, I have a problem beating up Sean. And you know the NFL has been on our cases as a whole on domestic
abuse. About beating up on women,
if I don't do something about it, I'll give you a reward of, you know what, you beat up Sean, no problem. Let's put him to the side. Here's a contract extension for 4 more years. Here's some extra money.
No,
do you see there's nothing wrong with that picture at all?
Well, of course there's something wrong with it. I'm just trying to wrap my mind of why they would do that. Like,
because
that's why I asked you, like, if he was some big, like, figure, like, if he meant something to the NFL.
But, okay, let's turn the tables. If Sean, a black person, had hit you, a white lady, even a slap across the face, I guarantee you, Sean would be out the door without a heartbeat. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with you with that. That's
so that's white privilege. That's what I'm talking about with white privilege.
Yeah.
And
that's what it is.
No, it is. It, you know, to some extent, it is. Because, listen, look at Ray Rice. Look how many months he served his suspension. He was practically blocked from the league. And here's this player. I mean, look how they're being
right on him.
Yeah,
but a lot of that had to do with the media also because the NFL looked stupid. When you're making a corporation of that magnitude look stupid, they're going to come down on you hard, dude.
The NFL made themselves look stupid. And
exactly. But that's a lot of
exactly.
that. A lot of that was a lot of that also was, you know, self-preservation. It had a lot to do with his case.
We have to remember one thing. The commissioner works for the owners. And the owner's bottom line is their bottom line. When you have a league that has got $18 billion at stake every year, when you have all of these networks that are going and paying billions of dollars to hold on to TV rights and advertising and all that other stuff, that is their image they have to worry about. The league does
sure.
not want to have – there are two things on the docket that the league has been trying to sweep under the rug. Concussions and the fact that they knew that these head injuries and all the other stuff that's been going on in the NFL has led to concussions and the CTE that we've been hearing about. And domestic violence, which has been swept under the rug
exactly.
and minimalized for the last God knows how many years. Now,
but
based
Sean,
on what happened with Ray Rice and Greg Hardy and all of these high-profile players that have gone into now either hiding or are completely gone, remember the league stated they were going to be out front, change policies, and the first thing that they did was first offense, 6 games. Second offense, banishment. That was on the docket just as much as a year ago.
Yes, it was.
Do you remember all of the advertising that went on when shortly after when the season started in light of the Ray Rice incident, the NFL had these advertisements where they would have NFL players and then they would ask them, well, how would you talk to a child or how would you talk to a female about domestic violence? And then you would see them crying or in speechless or in tears or whatever was the case. And that ran all last season. You don't see any of those ads on TV now. The only thing that you see on TV from the NFL are family oriented. Well, football is family. Go bring the family out. They're up front and center with breast cancer awareness. They're up front and center about all of the charities and all the other stuff they're doing. They're, as I stated earlier, they're up front and center about getting all over the NFL players for celebrating in the end zone and doing all of the things that they do to actually try to take an entertainment entity and bring some kind of enjoyment to the paying public that are paying ridiculous money for tickets. But if they took that same effort that they put in trying to fine players for having their socks too high or having their uniform on the wrong way, or having the wrong sneaker on their foot to protest something, or for somebody to have their hair the wrong color, they can take that same effort and put it into what they've been doing with domestic violence. There'd be a completely different outlook on this whole thing, and all it does now is make 100%. The NFL look like a bunch of hypocrites, period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right
are you
that?
Done? Are you done? Are you calm down
now? I'm a little light under your ass.
Yes, yes.
But I think overall with the NFL, how much we love football, because, like, we hear these abuse charges over and over and nothing's being done.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, more hiding away. And like I said, I insult people all the time. But this is a really slap on the face on women and abuse in general.
And it's frustrating to hear.
No, it
like,
is.
Really?
Very.
I'm not upset about Josh Brown incident. You know what? It happens every day. Domestic abuse, violence. But for me to go up to management and, you know, I'm trying to do the right thing and tell you, this is what I did. And, you know what? No problem. Brush it off. It's like, where's the mindset of that? And we have another caller. And you know who this is?
Uh-oh. Here comes the neighborhood.
Milton X. And the main event is here, everyone. Milton X, take it away.
There he is.
Good evening.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. Yes, listen, as far as the Josh Brown thing goes, can we be honest with ourselves for a second? NFL don't care about domestic violence. They don't.
I think we agree about that.
Right. No, we agree because, you know, the way the media hypes it, that's the thing. Now they have to give in.
And also, let's be honest about something, too. America don't really care about domestic violence because Josh Brown should be in jail. You know what I'm saying?
But we don't know the story. We don't know all the story. Maybe the wife decided not to press charges. We don't know.
But the wife shouldn't have to press charges, really. If there's evidence that the dude was beating on her, because you know a lot of them are too scared to press charges and shit.
Mm.
So you know that. So they should have asked, what would she even have to press charges in that situation? This dude should at least, at minimum, be in some mental institution because he said he needed help and shit.
Yeah.
But either way, the police out there in Washington really didn't give a shit. So if they ain't going to give a shit, why do you think the NFL is going to give a shit? And a lot of people, too, were just outraged about it. Let's be honest about this, too. A lot of people are criticizing the NFL and criticizing the Giants or whatever, but they ain't turning into season tickets news. Ain't no one turning off the games either. So they ain't that mad.
Well, viewership is down this year for the NFL. Because
it is, but not because of this.
No.
Not because of this. So they ain't like, well, people are going to stop watching football because some football players are beating their wives and shit, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think we all know the real reason why the ratings are down. It has something to do with some orange-haired guy, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe some people are upset at the whole Kaepernick thing.
Maybe.
And it's pissing them off to a point where they say, okay, I'm not going to watch that, but hey, so be it. But the main thing is, unless the American country gets serious about domestic violence, no one else is either. It's like with driving drunk, the same thing. People talk about how upset they are about it, but nothing really gets done about it.
No, we'll still continue on and on. Yeah. We'll probably talk about this again in the next show, whatever.
Of course.
But, what happened is a white woman slapped a guy and beat up a white guy. Would people pay attention to that instead?
What?
Or does it matter?
What?
If a white woman stopped beating up on a white guy, on an athlete.
White woman beat up on an athlete?
You never know. Emotionally, mentally.
Unfortunately, and I say this because I think I'm not going to understand a male's ego. I'm not a dude. But unfortunately, that type of abuse isn't reported because of the male ego, which is sad.
Of course.
Listen, let's be honest about it. If a dude say a woman be on him and go to the police about that shit, he's likely to get laughed at.
Which goes part and parcel with the whole ego part. You know, there was a TV movie years ago about a situation where a female was beating on the male.
I remember that movie.
The male decided he would try and hold on to it, and he never raised his hand to the woman because if he did, it would be looked at as he abusing the woman. And in the eyes of most people, it's like, well, you know, how could a female who is this short and weighs this much less beat up on this tall guy such and such and such?
You'd be shocked and amazed.
The way society is, you remember the
baseball player Chuck Finley? I think he was the victim of his wife.
Yeah,
beating
he
on
was. Yeah,
like
that former Met player. Yeah, because his wife had beat him up bad. And let's not forget Lionel Richie when he got beaten up a couple of years ago when he got caught cheating and the wife beat him up.
Well, he was cheating, so.
That doesn't make it right neither.
No.
Because if a woman cheats on a man, he can't beat her up.
But you know what? This is the thing. People laugh at men getting beaten up by women, but it's real. It does happen.
Beaten up. There are men being killed by their women in a lot of instances because of that same thought process. And it's just as severe.
And we all know eventually some woman's going to kill Rodney eventually. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter.
Oh, man.
And?
I think we all know that.
And the funny thing about it is I think Hot Rod is probably looking forward to that.
It's about time, you cute.
Listen, like I always told people, Anitra's favorite number is 69, so she'd probably be one of the first few people to kill me, but that's okay.
Oh, man.
No,
I don't care.
Unbelievable. Fuck did I get in this conversation?
I don't know.
But, all right, guys. We got 5 minutes left. Okay, Sean Black, the final debate finally happened last week. I did not watch it because, once again, I don't care. Did the final debate change your mind about anything the two crooked politics talk about?
No, it's probably just much more solidified what everybody thought. If you didn't change your mind by the second debate, then the third debate was only just going to just solidify what you already thought. I think the only thing that came out of it was the fact that Donald Trump had stated that if he lost the debate, he said he wouldn't really look into upholding the decision unless he looked into it or whatever was the case. But then a couple of days afterwards, he said he would go with the decision only if he won. So it was really the third debate was pretty much to do about nothing. And
same Muslim.
It was just more of the sniping that we've seen go on between the two of them back and forth. And they didn't fake like they were going to try and be civil. So we know what's going to happen come November the 8th, you know.
Okay. To Milton X, what is your final thought about a woman paying for a man's support?
Divorce?
Self-support, when a woman has to pay a man self-support.
Well, as the saying goes, the chickens have come home to roost. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? You know, the other way around, so be it. You know.
Okay.
Yeah, rules. Listen, tough shit.
Yeah. And I think that's more of spousal maintenance as opposed to spousal support, because
my man had a lifestyle he was accustomed to, and he needs to live up to that lifestyle. It is what it is. Equality,
okay.
Motherfucker.
K-Dog, final thought.
When it comes to spousal support, it goes both ways. And it's a new world out there. You know, women, best day. The world is yours. Carry on, carry on. That's all I got to say.
Hey, you
I
want
to
be equal, so be it.
I need to be to defend yourself, final thought.
No defense. I just don't care.
We should just get her a T-shirt that says, I don't care.
I don't give a damn. Listen to me. In my mind, if it does not affect my drink, my bank account, or my basic world of a bubble that I live in, I don't give a damn.
Okay. And Sean Black, your long speech will put me to sleep. What is your final thought?
My final thought is, I am happy that they're going to make Girl Scout cookies cereal in January. My final thought is, when it comes out, everybody pig out on Girl Scout cookie cereal, period. That's what my final thought is.
Okay, there goes your team, everyone. Okay, quick question. Yes, pick a team. Chicago Cubs or Cleveland Indians? Sean Black, you first.
Cleveland Indians.
Milton X?
Chicago Cubs.
K-Dog.
I'm going.
Hello?
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Somebody
got
a
oh, well, we lost K-Dog. Okay,
which team
Amisha's
has the cuter guys? Which team has better eye candy?
You're not going to get an honest answer from any of us.
Here's the thing. There's no eye candy at all for us men, per se. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, which one would be better eye candy for me?
That's still
We're not looking at them like that. You might have to watch the game and find out.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
Ain't no Pokemon here, so we wouldn't know.
My pick is the Chicago Cubs because I want to see them win after 100 years, and that's the bottom line. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this weird, crazy edition of The Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk
Radio. Apparently,
Radio.
Y'all would have some, you know, some absolute before the show, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I need something.
I need
Well, I'm the Hot Rod, Sean Black. I need your B, K-Dog, and Milton X. Guys, thank you once again for this crazy show. And Nietzsche, can I still grab you by the balls later?
Oh, of course you can, but you have to wash your hands. You forgot to do that last time.
Oh,
yeah, no problem. Let's have my money ready for me on Friday, okay? Thank you so much.
On the coffee
guys.
Table, bitch.
All right, guys. As always, the pleasure was all,
yours.
Yours.
Thank
good
you, guys.
Night.
Have a good night.
Peace out,
Sean
everyone.
Black.
Good night.
Sean Black.
Yeah.
Sean Black. Do you want to make out later or now?
I'm busy.
Okay. Good night.
He's lying. He's waiting for you.
Nisha B, you're supposed not to hear that.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, dear. I'm kind of used to the two of your shenanigans.
Kiss my black ass.
Good night, everybody.
No, you guys-
Good night.
Good night.